Live from Hollywood, California, and somewhere deep inside the United Kingdom, it's the Andy and Amanda Show.
Which just now became a classic.
This is a program you do not want to miss, featuring very special guests and all the news that you might not want to hear, and a program that you might not want to hear. That's why you want to hear it. Of course, it's Coast to Coast with Andy, Kimball, and Amanda Love.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Well, that is no way to start a show. This is the Andy and Amanda program. What the heck? What the hell? Where'd that come from? How you doing?
I'm doing great, sweetheart. How about you?
I'm doing great. Good evening to you. This is the Friday, what do you call it? The free-flowing, freaky Friday Andy and Amanda show on Coast to Coast. And we're doing mighty fine. Mighty fine, I must say.
Mighty fine. Yeah.
Mighty fine. And it's a special day. It's Cornell Butler's birthday today, folks. Cornell Butler is the impetus behind the show. He's the coordinator and the person who introduced Amanda and I, at least on the internet, because none of us have ever met, actually. But it is his birthday, so this is a special Cornell birthday show, and hopefully he'll be joining us as the day moves on, whatever it might be. So how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you, my darling. Yeah, all is well. How about you?
Mighty fine here, too. Mighty fine. We got a good show. We have a good guest joining us soon. Who I'm going to pause to introduce, but I will momentarily. I will. And we have some news to go over. I also, you know what we didn't do Wednesday, because I just totally forgot. I don't know. We got carried away with something. I don't remember what. Was we started, folks who are just joining us, we started a very impromptu. Nothing is ever planned on this show. We have never had an agenda, really. We talk about the news, what's in the headlines, what's you know, everybody kind of, if you read the news, you know it's in the headlines. If you read, watch, or listen to the news, we kind of provide some commentary on that. And we talk about whatever else we feel like talking about and also enjoy whatever conversation you might contribute to the show. Our studio line is 515-605-9888. Please do feel free to join us. But we started, I forgot how we got into it, a week ago or so. We somehow got into The Wizard of Oz. I don't remember how. But we started getting into the making of that movie and had so much fun doing it and such great reaction from that, that we decided we'd create this little corner of our show called Behind the Scenes of making of some of the classic films, you know. And what we're going to do Wednesday is go behind the scenes of the making of
Gone with the Wind.
Thank you.
Yeah, that really did go with the wind there, didn't it, Andy?
Yeah, we won't. We kind of go with the wind here, you know.
If you would just lean back and relax. You
know, we know
who's
how
wind,
that's
we don't
like.
Know, but...
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know.
Hey, there's something awfully squawy going on around here.
Mm. Yeah, anyway, speaking of wind. Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, listen, So some news I want to get into real quick, and then we're going to go into some other areas of discussion. We're going to bring our special guest. We're going to talk about the movie Blowing in the Wind, and that's the song. Gone with the Wind, excuse me.
Yeah.
But
frankly, my dear,
it was a press conference and at the White House, you know, a daily press conference, and one of the right wing reporters from the New York Post kind of try to bring up the fact that the Vice President of the United States was in Chicago, Kamala Harris, and visited a bakery. Actually, she's in Chicago addressing COVID, the vaccine distribution, the virus itself, and was there expressing, you know, her what she does as vice president. And she's a very compassionate woman. She's very, very good, I think, and she really speaks from the heart, and as does her the president of the United States, Joe Biden, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she was in Chicago, and I happened to get a recording of the press conference and that how she was confronted by this reporter from the New York Post. So let's take a listen to that real quick.
Okay.
So on immigration and the border, as we've discussed here today, Vice President Harris has been put in charge of addressing the root causes of the border crisis. Last Tuesday, she spoke with Guatemala's president, but she hasn't visited the border or Central America or spoken with leaders of El Salvador or Honduras. She was traveling this week, took time to visit a bakery in Chicago. I'm wondering, is she still working on this? And can you address the perception that she's kind of quietly backing off while Secretary Mayorkas is pursuing some Trump-era policies, such as potentially building new border barriers and potentially prosecuting people who illegally cross multiple times?
I know it can be so horrible to fall for a woman that you like to only find out that she doesn't like you, and you're feeling like, geez, what did I do wrong?
There's a whole lot packed in there, so let me just see what I can do here. First, I would say the vice president was visiting Chicago actually to talk about COVID and the importance of communities getting the vaccine when it's available and accessible to them. And so while she was there, like many Americans, she got a snack.
Let's be honest. Chocolate chip cookies are always good.
I think she's allowed to do that. But she was there to talk about COVID and play a role, as she's playing a significant role on our efforts to address vaccine hesitancy, communicate with the public about how we can do this, and it's imperative to get the vaccine when it's available. Second, I would say that yesterday, and this is actually a statement put out by her team.
Well, the team's headed back to the field now to begin the second half.
USAID announced the deployment of a DART team. We only have these in a couple of places in the world.
You have to 25. Get the darts to throw first.
So this is fairly significant to respond to urgent humanitarian needs in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. This is meant to help address the immediate humanitarian needs, whether it's drought, food insecurity, ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, and this is in communities that are still recovering. So that is actually an announcement made by the vice president's team earlier today.
I didn't even get to say congratulations, you've all made the team.
This is absolutely an issue that she remains committed to, is in the lead on. The Northern Triangle, which I'm sure you're aware of, but is not the same as the border. They're all related to each other, but addressing the being responsible and in the lead on the Northern Triangle is working with these countries in the region, addressing the root causes, working with them on how we can address issues like long-term food insecurity, drought, the COVID-19 pandemic, hurricanes, etc.
Pour me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane.
That's what she's focused on. I don't have an update on when she'll travel. I'm sure it will be soon.
She's still working on this issue very much.
Well, they wouldn't be putting out a statement this morning if she wasn't, would they?
Oh, my goodness.
No, they wouldn't, would they? I mean,
they wouldn't. Really? Can we talk? The reporter here that we just heard who asked the question was Stephen Nelson, and he again is from a conservative outlet, the New York Post, and he was kind of taking a jab, I think, at Kamala Harris for stopping at a bakery despite taking the lead on the issue of the border. Now, I don't think this is needed to be said, but people are allowed to eat, are they not? Are they not?
It's a scandal, isn't it? I mean, stopping at a bakery, for goodness sake.
Especially for good chocolate chip cookies. You see how I put that in there?
I
found that. It blended right in there, right? The chocolate chip cookies.
Very good.
You know? But not every second of every day has to be spent delivering updates to the New York Post, really. I mean, sometimes people need to stop for food, for water, to take a leak, you know, whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I mean, almost like they're human. I mean, come on.
They might even need to sleep. I'm not quite sure, but they know. I know it's shocking. You know,
it is shocking.
It is. Like, conservatives are hell bent on making the border into an issue number one. Why? Because, per usual, seemingly they don't have any popular agenda items. Really, think about it. You know, really.
Yeah.
And so instead, they need to fearmonger to their base about scary brown people stampeding over the border and into your neighborhoods to take your job and sell drugs to your children. It's the same tired story on a perpetual loop, and it's the testament to how absent any actual policy is on the right. What policy is there on the right? But hey, folks, I don't think this should come as much of a surprise to you, considering Democrats are introducing and passing legislation that is overwhelmingly popular throughout the country. Like, already Democrats, like, think about this, unilaterally passed the American Rescue Plan, the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package that three-quarters of the Americans supported. And they did so with zero votes from Republicans. They've introduced the American Jobs Plan, a $2.5 trillion infrastructure program, again, with the support of the vast majority of Americans. Go figure. And again, with zero stated support from Republicans thus far. You know, who's moving the country forward? Who?
I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day.
I am the president. Make no mistake about that.
Amanda is. When you think about it, though, it's so fun. You know, Republicans continue to turn their backs on the legislation that the majority of Americans support, including their own constituents, you know, their own, they're trying to kind of orient everybody's attention elsewhere, I think. Of course, they're wailing about the border on the never-ending loop, the border, the border, the border, because that's the alternative what they're trying to that's what else they have to talk about, really, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the stimulus checks that they didn't want to put in people's hands.
Well,
the lack of funding of vaccine distribution, why they didn't want roads and bridges to get fixed.
Like a bridge over troubled water.
Yes.
Why they're not supporting repairs at VA hospitals? Why they didn't think getting broadband access to 100% of Americans is necessary? They'll do anything to refocus their attention away from what most impacts you. You know, all of us, really, because on those
why
issues,
there is
not
a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I mean, come on.
Exactly. I agree. You nailed it. And that's what, you know, not to say, folks, that the border doesn't matter, because of course it does. We know that it does. But you know, the right. If you want to, I hate classifying the right, the left, you know, the liberals, the Democrats, but the population that supports more conservative issues, let's put it that way, has been more, I think, unilaterally focused on the issue of immigration. And you can make an argument that there are many issues that are clearly more important to Americans than the border issues. I mean, clearly, like COVID. Like vaccines, like jobs, like childcare, like schools, like infrastructure, like healthcare, like guns, like election reform. All these issues. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Which one affects you? I'm trying to. I think, but our number here again is 515-605-9888. Please do give us a call and let us know what issues concern you. I know that election reform is not at the top of your list. I don't know anybody whose list election reform is at the top of. Of course, the Republicans are making an issue, you know, saying, oh,
fraud, widespread, wide-based fraud.
Where? Who?
Who let the dogs out?
Let's make it harder for people to vote, because fraud is such a huge issue. You know, let's take away the ability for people to vote and make it easy and convenient for people to vote. No, they shouldn't, because fraud is such a big issue. And so many states have had mail-in and absentee voting for so many times, so long, and it's never been an issue in those states. But we all pretend that it is. Yes, and bring it to the people's attention and lie about it. Yes. Yes, and take away their ability to vote. Yes, and then we will win elections. Woo-wee! Wow. Yeah, anyway. Okay. So, welcome to the Andy and Amanda program. I'm done. Goodbye.
If you will just lean back and relax.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll sit here with my beer and just ponder on life.
Hey, you know. Oh, Amanda, do I miss you. I really do.
I miss you too. Every
you know,
single
wait,
second.
Wait, hold up. Wait a minute.
No. Okay. You know, well, you know, just, you know, all right. Because
for
think,
this
you know,
coming week, you are not going to initiate.
I'm going to initiate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I say. Mm-hmm. Please mm-hmm. do. Okay.
Oh, yes. Now you're talking my language. Now, this, okay, well,
you absolutely, if you play golf, if you play tennis or whatever you do, you have to make time for sex.
Mm-hmm. That's what I hear, yeah. It's a common opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to, I ran into this, well, this, I did a COVID test again
wash
yesterday.
Wash the girl right out of your hair.
I've been trying to. I ran into this very sexy girl. After the show, and immediately after the show, I'm going to dart out of here. I've been invited. I'm an invited guest on the Bill Maher show today. Not as a guest,
yes.
as a panelist on the show, but a very
yeah.
special part of a VIP audience. They're having very small audiences. And the casting agency I work with here in California sent me an email, said, "Hey, would you like to be a guest? And not, you know, it's a gig, you know, to go see Bill Maher's or you know, a VIP audience." I'm like, "Sure." So I've got to be there this afternoon down at Television City, CBS. And we'll be taking off right after the show. We're going to bring – oh, Amanda, what I want to do first, we're going to bring on our guests in just a couple minutes. Right now, though, I want to get our show coordinator, Cornell Butler, on board
yeah.
here. Cornell.
What's up, Doc?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Happy birthday, boy! Woohoo! Woo!
Hey, thank you very much. It's my birthday. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Hey, Cordell, happy birthday, man. All the very, very
thank
best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cordell,
guys.
I am sat here with a beer in your honor, in my hand right now, to
oh
say a
God.
Cheers,
me, look,
wishing you a happy birthday, buddy.
I definitely have to get mine right now.
Yeah. Come on.
Definitely.
Oh, my gosh.
Grab your drink. Toast.
Yes, you know I am.
Yeah, Cordell, really.
What's up, guys?
From the Andy and Amanda show, from your show that you put together, we all welcome you on board again and wish you a very, very happy birthday, a wonderful, wonderful, happy, healthy, successful year ahead. And, you know, best wishes, really. Have a good one.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Andy.
Keep working your magic. It's amazing.
Well, I'm going to try a new trick. I'm going to disappear. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, fair enough.
Who cares how old you are? It's how you feel, how you look.
I feel great. I look like I feel great.
Don't laugh.
I feel great. I feel great. Bless you.
Oh man.
We have some news we're going to be talking about. Yeah, Cornell, it's really good to have you back on the show. We definitely have missed you. We're going to dive into some news. I know Prince Philip. Thank you.
Prince Pippilip. Oh, sorry, Philip.
I thought you were about to start singing Purple Rain. I'm like,
Purple Rain. Purple Rain. Will, if you want me to. We're going to go into some news. We're going to talk about Going with the Wind. We have a special guest on the show, a guy by the name of Joe Richmond, who's going to be joining us very soon. And he has been an ambassador. He's part of the Philadelphia 76ers organization that is working with the Delaware Bluecoats, which is equivalent to, let's say, a minor league baseball team. They have the same thing, a basketball team. And the 76ers minor basketball team is in Delaware. They're called the Bluecoats. It's called a G League of the Philadelphia 76ers. And this guy is, you know, I can't wait to talk to him because I used to go see, he was a coach and also of the New Jersey Generals, which is the team that always played the Harlem Globetrotters. And also a referee in the Harlem Globetrotters. And I, as a kid, used to watch the Globetrotters all the time. And I brought my own kids to see them at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, which I'm sure Joe's been there refereeing games and being in games and other places around the country as well. And I remember seeing Globie, the Globetrotters mascot, which personally I thought took too much of the show up. I would rather just see basketball. But anyway, I'm looking forward to and now Joe's doing some great things for our society, for our children, and we're going to talk to him about his career and about the Globetrotters, of course, and what he's doing now. So we're looking forward to getting him on board the show. We're going to do that in just a little while here. In the meantime, Amanda, talk to us about what's going on in your corner of the world there in the UK.
Okay, so yes, today we have some sad news. Q violins. It is very sad news that our dear
violins. You said
yes,
you say
violins. We need the violins, you know, just to give that accent to the whole purpose of this news.
If you had told me, I would have had some playing for you. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
So yeah, we have the sad news today of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, dying at the age of 99 following a month's stay at the hospital with treatment for an infection, where he returned home on the 16th of March, and he passed away very peacefully at his home in Windsor Castle. He was only 2 months away from being 100 years old. That's crazy. So people from all over the world are paying tribute to him as we speak. He will not be having a state funeral and no lie-in state, which is his wishes. He apparently didn't see himself as important enough for a state funeral, as they are usually reserved for the death of a monarch. And lying in state was bestowed upon the last three sovereigns, consorts, which are, you know, people, partners, husbands, whatever, to royalty. So included the Queen Mother herself in 2002. So he will lay at rest in Windsor Castle before a royal ceremony funeral at St. George's Chapel. Due to the pandemic, the public are requested not to attend, and the flags will fly half-mast on government buildings from now until the day after the funeral. I've got just a few little facts here about him that people might be interested to hear. That he was the longest-serving consort in British history. A consort is partner or husband to the monarch, which is the Queen, obviously. So for 73 years, they've been by each other's side. Oh, so beautiful. He was born 10th of June 1921 in Corfu, Greece, into Greek and Danish royal families. He received his education in France, Germany, and the UK at the age of 18, and then joined the British Royal Navy in 1939. During the Second World War, he served with distinction in the Mediterranean and Pacific fleets. He had met Elizabeth, the Queen, in 1934, but was in 1939, when she was just 13 years old, that he began corresponding with her, and they were actually third cousins. After the war, Philip was granted permission by King George VI to marry Elizabeth before their announcement of their engagement in July 1947. Philip became a naturalized British subject and married Queen Elizabeth on the 20th of November 1947. His four older sisters would all marry Germans, and while Philip fought for Britain in the Royal Navy, three of his sisters actively supported the Nazi cause. None would be invited to his wedding. Philip left the military service, and this happened when Queen Elizabeth became Queen in 1952. And then when peace came, and with it eventual economic recovery, Philip would throw himself into the construction of a better Britain, urging the country to adopt scientific methods, embracing the ideas of industrial design, planning, education, and training. A decade before Harold Wilson talked of the white heat of the technological revolution, Philip was urging modernity on the nation in speeches and interviews. And as the country and the world became richer and consumed ever more, Philip warned of the impact on the environment well before it was even vaguely fashionable. And he was a sports enthusiast, helped develop the equestrian event of carriage driving, which I didn't even know that was a thing. There you go. He was a patron, president, a member of over 780 organizations, and he served as chairman of the Duke of Edinburgh's Award, which is a self-improvement program for young people aged 14 to 24. So just, you know, some brief facts about the guy. He did a lot for this country and for the UK, and he was quite a quirky, interesting dude. You know, he's said a few things which stirred the pot a few times that, you know, seemed a bit outspoken. He just had a unique personality about him, but he did a lot for people. And I think, you know, today is a very sad day for the UK, but we wish the royal family lots of peace and recovery with all of this, and we wish you all the best, and send our love, yeah. And, you know, all that good stuff. All that good stuff.
All that good stuff. We do, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
It's a weird time.
God, you know,
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm...
They haven't yet stated as to what he actually passed from, because we know he had an infection, but I think they're going to later reveal what he passed from. I don't know, and they're still saying it's not COVID. So
I know we know here on the Andy Amanda show. I think we have a clue. We have a clue.
Tick tock.
Man, I know I'm back on the show now, man. Oh, my God. TikTok is still there? Oh, my God.
Be right back.
Are you still going to the bathroom, Andy?
You know,
that's
this is video. That's the advantage of doing a radio show and not a TV show is that, you know, I go to the bathroom, you know, get a beer, take a leak, you know, whatever, you know, no one knows the difference, you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The, Cornell really is great. Cornell, we were doing the show for quite a long time. It's at 5 days a week at one point, where it would have been 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning for Amanda in the UK. And we have a very, very strong audience in the UK and 15 other countries outside of the UK. And we figured, you know, maybe we should, because of that audience, because of a growing listenership and following around the world, that maybe we should cater to making the show more comfortable and convenient for those listeners to join the Andy and Amanda show. So we moved it, and Cornell actually does some other things and has other responsibilities for the show outside of being on the show. So because of that, we moved the time slot. He's not been able to join us as frequently as he used to. However, he was commended.
Would you rather practice or have natural talent? I said the best is both, right? But she's got a great natural talent. A great natural talent.
Coming from home, I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know.
The best is yet to come.
It is. This is episode 300 and some on this show. But, Amanda, so getting back to Prince Philip, it's, we kind of figured, you know, I mean, he's 99 years old. He's in the hospital for quite some time. It was, we lived a very long, effective life. And, so it's, you know, it's sorry
to
hear.
Yeah, it was definitely on the cards.
Yeah.
I think we all have that feeling, and bless him. But, we should see what happens. The public, you know, as much as, you know, it's a tradition for everybody to go in and see the funeral and everything like that.
Yeah.
I think people got to be sensible with this and just, you know, view from the TV, people. View from the TV if you need to.
You bet. Hey, are we ready, folks? Are we ready for our new adventure on the Andy and Amanda show? It's time.
You want to marry
me? I'm going to marry Melanie.
But you can't, not if you care for me.
Oh, my dear, why must you make me say things that will hurt you? How can I make you understand? You're so young and unthinking, you don't know what marriage means.
I know I love you and I want to be your wife. You don't love Melanie.
She's like me, Scarlett. She's part of my blood and we understand each other.
But you love me.
How could I help loving you? You who have all the passion for life that I lack. But that kind of love isn't enough to make a successful marriage for two people who are as different as we are.
Why don't you say it, you coward? You're afraid to marry me. You'd rather live with that silly little fool who can't open a mouth except say yes, no, and raise a hassle of me and my breath to life.
You mustn't say things like that about
me. Who are you to tell me I mustn't? You let me on. You made me believe you wanted to marry me.
Now, Scarlett, be fair. I never at any time...
You did. It's true, you did. I hate you till I die. I can't think of anything bad enough to call you.
War, war, war. This war talk's spoiling all the fun at every part of this bridge. I get so bored I could scream. I haven't thought about that yet. I'll
think about that smart. Can't be true. Ashley loves me.
Scarlett. Oh, yes, and you is. You was going to eat every mouthful of this.
Oh, why, Charles Hamilton, you handsome old thing, you.
But...
Kathleen, who's that?
Who?
That man looking at us and smiling. The nasty dog.
What?
He looks as if he knows what I look like without my shimmy.
Oh, fiddly dee, Millie. Oh, I'm thinking bad enough without you talking about dying.
Stop it! Try to be brave, Millie. Yell all you want. There's nobody to hear.
Chrissy tells me you're planning on dating.
If you make any jokes now, I'll kill you.
Well, don't tell me you're frightened.
I'm scared to death. If you had the sense of a goat, you'd be scared. Oh, Red, please don't go. You can't leave me, please. I'll never forgive you.
I'm not asking you to forgive me. I'll never understand or forgive myself. And if a bullet gets me, so help me, I'll laugh at myself for being an idiot. There's one thing I do know, and that is that I love you, Scarlett. In spite of you and me and the whole silly world going to pieces around us, I love you. Because we're alike, bad lots, both of us. Selfish and shrewd, but able to look things in the eyes and call them by their right names.
Don't hold me like that.
Scarlett, look at me. I love you more than I've ever loved any woman. And I've waited longer for you than I've ever waited for any woman.
Let me alone!
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Oh. That's my favorite part. Frankly, dear, I don't give a damn.
You know, when she slapped him, I thought he was going to say, "What makes a lion out of a bear? Courage."
No, I thought he was going to say, "You got my juice."
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
So let's talk about that for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so Amanda is going to did some research on the making of this film, is going to reveal some of the behind-the-scenes news about what happened during making this film, and we'll turn it over to Amanda Love.
Okay, so the actress Vivian Leigh, she was cast to play Scarlett O'Hara after filming of the movie had started. And when it was announced that she was cast in the role as the Southern Belle, many Southerners protested this, and apparently the Daughters of the Confederacy's chapter in Ocala, is that how you pronounce it? Florida? Told the studio that they were shocked and offended that they chose a British actress for the part. And when the studios informed them that they considered Katharine Hepburn for the part, the Daughters of the Confederacy were horrified and then agreed that a British actress was much better than a Yankee one. I just laughed at that. I really did. Controversy time, though. Clark Gable, who played Rhett Butler, was actually married to two different women during the filming of the movie. One by the name of... One by the name of Maria Langham, a wealthy Texas socialite, but was also deep into an affair with actress Carol Lombard. And the studio got involved whilst filming Gone with the Wind by helping Clark Gable get a quick divorce from Maria Langham so that he could elope with Carol.
Amanda, wasn't Shirley Temple supposed to be cast as... Oh, that was no, no, wrong movie. I thought Shirley Temple was going to be cast as... Wrong movie. That was Wizard of Oz, the part of Dorothy. I'm going back to... I'm sorry, yeah. I thought
right.
Shirley Temple was going to play Scarlet. I was thinking Shirley Temple was going to play Scarlet O'Hara, but that was Wizard of Oz again. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Cool.
Go ahead.
Also, apparently, Vivian Leigh, a married woman herself and a mother, was carrying a not-so-discreet affair with actor Laurence Olivier, whom was also married at the time. So there was all that situation going on. Saucy. There was also a scene in the movie where Clark Gable's character, Rhett, learns that Scarlett has had a miscarriage after falling down some stairs, which may have been Rhett's fault. So the producer, David O. Selznick, wanted the news of the miscarriage to reduce Rhett to tears, but Clark Gable refused to cry on screen. Clark Gable's image back in the day painted him as quite a macho Hollywood actor, and he didn't want to come across in a way that threatened that image, and so he nearly quit from the movie, and the director decided to offer to shoot two versions of that scene. And it was after they were shot that Clark Gable agreed that the crying scene was much more emotionally powerful. Yeah, mm. I know, right?
Mm. Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah.
Even right. though his character was Gable's most famous role, he referred to the movie as a woman picture. He wasn't the only one to think things were ridiculous with the movie. Supposedly, Leslie Howard, who was in his early 40s, only took the part of playing Ashley Wilkes because of being offered a producing credit on a future project. And Leslie's character was a strapping 21-year-old at the start of the movie, and Leslie told his daughter that, "I hate the damn part. I'm not nearly as beautiful or young enough for Ashley, and it makes me sick being fixed up to look attractive." He also spoke his mind about the novel that the movie is based on, saying, "It's a terrible lot of nonsense. Heaven help me if I ever read the book." That's a bit... Wow. Okay. The movie itself experienced three different directors. After just 18 days of filming, the original director, George Cukor...
George Clooney? Director George Clooney?
George Cukor was fired. There is a lot of speculation over why George was fired. From him not being happy with the script and the work he was producing. And Selznick got tired of this, or even more scandalous, apparently it was an open secret that George Cukor was gay and had lavish parties and also had a sharp tongue. And suppose he had a sharp tongue and did things like refuse actress Carol Lombard through the door, labeling her as uncouth. And there was talk that Clark Gable called him a woman's director, being concerned that he was paying all his attention on Lee rather than Gable himself, and supposedly snarled on set saying, "I won't be directed by a fairy," which enraged George Cukor and walked off set. So trying to make sense of Gable's attacks on Cukor, they claimed Gable's possible resentment of Cukor was down to the mutual acquaintance that they had together, a guy called Billy Haynes. And Gable and Haynes met on an MGM lot in 1925 and allegedly had a brief one-time sexual encounter with Liz Littleford, who was Haynes' best friend. So anyway, all this drama aside, Cukor was replaced by Victor Fleming, the guy who directed The Wizard of Oz. And Victor took over for 93 days as during the thick of the production. Fleming experienced a mental breakdown and threatened to drive his car off a cliff, and so took some time off. And during that period, Sam Wood took over for the final 21 days until Fleming recovered from his exhaustion.
Wow.
Woo! I know, right?
Yeah.
When the movie premiered in 1939 at Lowe's Grand Theatre,
same year as Wizard of Oz, yes.
Georgia's governor had the National Guard on standby inside the city, but Atlanta's mayor, I know, Atlanta's mayor went one further and declared a three-day holiday and encouraged his voters to dress up as Scarlet and Rhett. And the mayor asked every woman and maid to put on hoop skirts and pantalets and appealed to every male to wear don-tuck trousers and a beaver, have a goatee, sideburns, and Kentucky Colonel whiskers, apparently. He also asked citizens not to tear off the clothes of the visiting movie stars, as that had happened in Kansas at the premiere of Dodge City. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I know, right?
The one sad
fact about all this back then, they had segregation, of course, which didn't end in the U.S. till 1954, right? Meant that
in 1954 on paper, but in reality, I think it was more closer to 1968 with Lyndon Johnson. That's a whole other conversation, but go ahead.
So it meant that the black actors who were in the movie were not allowed to attend the public premieres, and for the theaters that weren't segregated, the producers still told them not to attend because it was unsafe for them. But one very cool part of all of this is that the actress Hattie McDaniel, who played Mammy, made history when winning an Academy Award in 1940, and she was the first African-American to ever win an Oscar. They were, however, forced to sit at separate tables at the back.
Jeez. I can't even think about that. Unbelievable.
Hattie was also good friends with Gable, and he used to play pranks on her on set by swapping over cognac or tea with real cognac without telling Hattie about it, which I think is hilarious.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Wow. Going
I have
for win.
A few more. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I have about four more facts. Time for that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, of course, we know that women were often seen as second-class citizens and equal pay wasn't a thing back then, and that was the case with their paychecks also. So Clark Gable earned a whopping $120,000 for his part as Rhett, which was 71 days of work, whereas Vivian Leigh, who worked 125 days, was only paid a ludicrous $25,000. And if that... I know, right? And if that wasn't a shitty deal for Vivian Leigh, the famous kissing scene certainly topped it off for her with... unfortunately, Clark Gable had contracted a gum infection that cost him all his teeth in 1933.
Oh, my gosh,
so,
is that right?
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so he had to have dentures, bless him. And
oh,
however,
my gosh.
He, I know, he experienced bad breath as a side effect, and poor Vivian commented on his dentures smelling something awful, bless her.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
For the train yard scene where all those people lay on the ground dead, representing the devastation of the Civil War, they needed a load of extras for that scene. They initially wanted 2,500 extras to play the dying and dead soldiers, but the Screen Actors Guild only had a limited number of extras available, around 1,500. And to make up for the rest, they ordered 1,000 lifelike dummies.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Another scene where the horse and carriages approached the 12 Oaks plantation. 12 Oaks was actually a matte painting, and if you look closely whilst watching it, you'll see that the carriages disappear into it rather than approach it. That's a bit of magic right there. That's very cool.
It is. It is. Man.
And the last thing,
yes.
which I'm sure many of you are expecting, and you're probably saying in your minds right now, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. However, let's round this behind the scenes off with a fact about that most famous line. The line itself almost didn't happen and was asked to be changed to, frankly, my dear, I don't care. But that famous
actually, I have the. It wasn't. I have the actual line. Yeah, I'll tell you. I looked into this myself. This is the actual line.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I was going to reply to that, but oh, what the hell? Let's move on to something else.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that famous line in today's world doesn't have much of an effect on us because we're all used to all sorts of words and stuff.
Oh, we are.
In terms of being offensive back in 1939 was seen as blasphemy, and the entertainment industry had strict moral codes that banned swearing, so Selznick had to negotiate for months on getting permission to use that one word, damn. And in the end, it made the cut. And it was said that he was fined $5,000 by the Motion Picture Association.
Jeez.
But gladly paid it to keep the word in. So audiences were shocked by the curse word in the movie, and it caused that much of a stir that the publicity helped make the movie get to where it is.
Behind the scenes.
Great job. Great job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now pleased to bring on board to the Andy and Amanda Show, coast to coast. We're going to bring on Joe Richmond. Joe, are you on board? Are you with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am. How are you, Andy and Amanda? How are you?
Hey, darling. How are you?
Joe is thinking.
I'm nervous because I like to dance, and I can't stand no more.
Yes, I know. Joe, welcome aboard, man. Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome, aboard.
Joe, I heard all about you and heard
on the show.
Really? I've heard all about you, your experience with the Globetrotters coaching the New Jersey Generals. Am I right about that? You coach the opposing team?
They are called Washington Generals, the Washington Generals.
Okay. Who's the New Jersey Generals?
Okay.
I knew it was something like that. I thought it was New Jersey. Okay. Let me put it this way. They seem like they could have been from New Jersey. You know what I'm saying?
They're straight from Hoboken.
Oh,
You know, they never won a game. You should have helped me coach my Little League girls team, you know? About the same.
Hey, you know, the beauty of this is, you know, if I win, I got fired. You know what I mean? So, no pressure.
I like that.
That was a good one, Joe.
Yeah, so talk to us about that. Talk to us about your experience with the Globetrotters. How much of that was staged? The Globetrotters was actually a very good basketball team.
Well, the Globetrotters, as you know, is a great brand. Mm-hmm. it was part of the Disney family for a while. Abe Saperstein discovered it in 1926 when he introduced it to the world. And a lot of it was real basketball, and it still is to today. They just have opportunities inside the game where they can create that humor, that fun, the family-friendly things that everybody loves, like the water bucket. Everybody knows the water bucket and the confetti. And, you know, they kept a lot of things that just made it fun for the family when you want to just bring your kids out. But, man, I love it. It changed my life. It literally changed my life. I've been basketball all my life. But being a part of the world famous Harlem Globetrotters, it did something differently. I've been to all 50 states twice in over 40 countries.
That's impressive.
Wow. And audiences cool. just came out and loved the Globetrotters. And Amanda, have you seen the Globetrotters over there by any chance at all? Have you seen the Harlem?
Unfortunately, no, my darling. I have not. Mm-hmm. I have not had that pleasure.
So Amanda, I've played in the Wembley Stadium and the O2 Arena.
Oh, what? That's so cool.
So if you go to the Wembley Stadium, they have a wall of fame down underneath where all the dressing rooms are. And my name, I signed my name on that board right next to Paul Simon.
That is so cool. I will check that out, definitely.
So Joe, in playing the Washington with the Generals, coaching them, was there a lot of practice? I mean, did the team actually practice, or was it pretty much going out there and just, you know, doing what they do and, you know, just being...
A great deal of practice. You know, we didn't have all the bells and whistles you guys got. You know what I mean? We mm-hmm. don't have all the mm-hmm. props and the cues. But,
right.
So, when it came down to the dribbling and the things, you know, the timing had to be impeccable. You know what I mean? It had to be flawless. And, mm-hmm. you know, those guys knew the distance to play the defense, but make sure you didn't impede them from doing the things that they did. But when mm-hmm. we played basketball. But when it came time for the show, we gave the people one of the greatest shows on earth next to Ringling Brothers, Bart and Billy Circus.
No question about it. Absolutely. And we all know, you know, there's been some great characters that have come out of the Globetrotters, some which has made cartoon series, Metal Lark Lemon. And, you know, my elementary school gym teacher was a former Harlem Globetrotter, and we called everybody by the first name when I went to the school. It's a very progressive outdoor school in outside of Philadelphia called the Mequon School, and all I know is his name was Bill. I don't remember his last name, but he was a Harlem Globetrotter, and he used to entertain us. You know, we were in fourth, fifth grade, and he used to entertain us. He was so funny how he used to spin the ball on his finger and do all the Globetrotter things. It was just, you know, I'll never forget it. Just, you know, that was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It's amazing that, you know, spinning the ball on your finger is a prerequisite. You know what I mean? You got to at least do that.
I've tried it. Believe me, it ain't so easy. I don't know how many of you tried doing that.
Even I tried doing that.
I wanted to tell him to shut Andy Mike off when he talked about it was too much Globy. It's never enough Globy, Andy.
I thought Globy. After every something was a Globy thing, and I'm like, I was having so much fun just watching the game and watching the team that. I guess for the kids, I don't know. That was just my personal take. You know, Globy was cute, but then I just thought they overdid it a little bit. That's all. I thought it was great. It was great, but
I've been blessed. I've met Metal Lark. I've met Curly Neal.
Wow.
I've met Marcus Haynes. This is Marcus Haynes to show me. I met the great Geese Osby. Sweet Lou Dunbar was one of my coaches, mentors. Tex Harrison. Everybody pretty much Twiggy, most of the guys from the cartoon I've got to meet. But I'm going to tell you the highlight of my day. I'm in Bossier, Louisiana. I'm in the back getting ready for a game. And this guy, this short white guy, comes in my locker room. And he's talking. And he says to me, "Hey, Joe, how are you?" And then he like, it was the voice of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
He did all their voices. All the Disney voices. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those are opportunities that I've got to meet the great Philip Bailey. I've met Mike Jackson's father, Joe Jackson, in Vegas the year Mike passed away.
Oh, wow.
So Andy and Amanda, this is how I went. I went up to him. He came to me and said, you're doing a great job, young man. We're going back at halftime of the game. And I said, wow. I said, oh, Mr. Jackson, I'm honored. I'm honored to meet Michael Jackson's father. Know what he said?
What's that?
He said, I'm all the Jackson's father, son.
Wow. Wow.
I just said, Michael. He said, no, I'm all the Jackson's father, son. I was like, oh, my God, I apologize. Yes, sir.
But it's
the times like that that just blows me away on my travels with the Globetrotters.
Wow, that's incredible.
And you went from being a coach, you were also a referee of the game at one point, right?
Well, I was slated to be the coach in the beginning, but when I went for my tryout in Houston, Texas, they had three referees. They couldn't get the verbiage right on one of the skits. The great Al Clocker, Hall of Fame type guard in Pennsylvania, who actually recruited me, he said, "Joe, you can do that." I'm like, "Yes," because I had my suit on, but I had my referee stuff in the bag because I always carry my stuff with me. He said, "No, just go out there, put the microphone on, and do it." So I went out there, I hit it on the first take, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's incredible.
I mean, I grew up. I mean, I saw the Globetrotters. You've been to the Spectrum in Philadelphia. I'm from Philly, and that's where I saw. Yeah, I saw the Globetrotters play there numerous times as a kid. My parents would take me. Then I took my kids. I mean, it was just the Globetrotters. Just have obviously they're just and they're also it's a philanthropic organization as well. They've entertained so many in so many different parts of the world and so many different walks of life, and that's really what they're all about, really, underneath everything,
Our military tour is second to none when we go overseas and put on the show for our great men and women that serve of our great country. And it touches us in such a way I can't even articulate in this interview that when we go to Germany and do it for our troops, Japan for our troops, it's just amazing when we go and do the different ones for our troops.
Wow.
My mother got to know I was going to be a Harlem Globetrotter, and I'm like you, Andy. My dad took us, the last time I seen Harlem Globetrotter, I was 14 years old. My dad took us to the Spectrum. So
yeah.
When I got introduced to the Globetrotters again was in 2005.
Okay.
I became a part of the great organization in 2007, and I retired in 2012.
Wow.
My mom, she passed away the year I actually went on tour. She passed away in that January of the year of 2007. I went on tour that December of 2007, and my dad my brother brought my dad on the floor to watch me with the Harlem Globetrotters, and he was on a Wells Fargo floor.
I can't stand no more.
Where did that come from? Go ahead. Yeah, so but I'm sorry. You were like, what? What? No, the. So let me ask you a question. When you first got involved, it must have been for you growing up, from the area, being a kid, growing up to the Globetrotters. It must have been, were you ever like, wow, that you're now part of that entire program? I mean, it must have been for you the just to acknowledge and to realize yourself that this is what you're part of, such a a huge part of so many people's lives.
I don't know. My sister always say right now till today, Joe always on, because I don't
feel like I ever retired. because my Globetrotter history is what got me to the 76ers, which is my all time. Come on. I grew up a Sixer fan, and I actually, but it was because of the Globetrotters and the things that they saw me do in the state of Delaware and around the city, being out for nonprofits and doing for kids organizations and churches and hospitals. That's how they came and approached me to be a part of the 76ers. So it changed my life in so many ways. And to give back, to go in my old neighborhood, I got to be the guest speaker at my elementary school for a graduation. I've done things that I never would have. I believe in my heart, not for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Andy, he's very correct on that, because when I met Joe always been a pleasant guy, Andy and Amanda, and me and him became kind of good friends, well, actually close friends, and every time I see him, he always brought this brightness to me, a very positive individual.
Aw, he certainly sounds it.
Joe, right now you're working with the Delaware Blue Coats, right?
The 76ers G League affiliate. Every NBA team pretty much has one, and I've been with them since their inception. I've been on here all 8 years, and for 4 years I did everything I'm doing right now without a check.
Oh my God!
I was in the community for them. I went to every event. I went to everywhere, and then somebody saw me, like they always say, you never know who's watching. Somebody saw me doing something with some kids, with the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts of America, just interacting with them, yo, who is that guy? And they said, oh, that's Coach Joe. He's always here. He does this, that, and the third. And I the next day, I know they asked me to go to New Jersey, and I've been a part of the organization ever since, and I've been blessed on so many levels.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. That's
great.
Inspiring, Joe. That really is.
Yeah, I used to live off in a building right off of City Avenue where AI's manager lives, and he used to come.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about right there at Overbrook and City Line, that high rise there.
Yes,
I think it's called the Point now or something. And AI, I'd be, you know, there's a garage that would pull up, you know, you pull your car into the garage. And AI would be out there spitting the ball on his finger. Like we were talking about dribbling the basketball in the garage entrance. The door's opening up, and I'm trying to get my car in. And there's AI just bouncing the ball in the entrance of the garage. I'm sitting here, oh, this is entertaining, but I really want to park my car. You know?
I think the biggest thing you just said is just AI. Back then, it wasn't 30 other guys with him?
Oh, there was a sweet talk. And I remember one time there was a bunch of 76ers used to come in and out of the building. Some other players lived there as well. And I was a stay-at-home dad at the time, and I would take my daughter up and down, you know, going for walks and whatever. And I remember my daughter, who was a little toddler one time, and there's a couple Sixers in the elevator, and we're going up, and my daughter looked up and said, "You're really tall." But
you look at a kid that grew up, and when the Sixers won the championship in LA, me and all my friends in the neighborhood, we walked to the Spectrum, and they were in LA. They weren't even in Philadelphia when they won a championship. And sometimes I go down there, you know, and I see Doc and I see Bobby Jones. I had an interview a couple months back with Steve Mix. I've just been blessed. Who would have thought a kid that grew up in a project of 3rd and Washington Avenue would be with the, you know, I've been with one of the most recognized basketball entities in the world, the Harlem Globetrotters, and now I'm with the Philadelphia 76ers, my home team. As you know, I would have. It's like I'm living a fairy tale life right now, and I'm enjoying every second of it.
So great to hear. So talk about what you're doing now with the Delaware team. What are you pretty much?
Okay, all right. Hold on to your hat. So I am the ambassador of basketball for the Delaware Blue Coats. The G League. So what happened was, the G League came,
they had these kids that weren't from the state of Delaware, and Delaware is a different beast, Andy, as you know, and Dex knows, you know, just about the history and things of that nature. So I said, man, you know what? I went home, put the worst four-page presentation together by, that I ever could, because I'm not a computer guy. And I presented it to the guy. I said, listen, man, won't you let me go out here with the players? And, you know, I can kind of segue with them through things because they didn't know anything about the state. I'm listening to them talking. They're not really answering the questions because they don't really know the state. And I came up with it. And till today, I am the only ambassador of basketball in the whole G League.
Jeez. Wow.
No one else carries this title.
That. Congratulations on that. Wonderful.
And that's, and that's how it came about. That's how it came about. Yes, sir.
You are unique.
So, did you growing up, did you play a lot of basketball? I mean, were you something you were always into and something you aspired to somehow get involved with all along? Or was that, I mean, how did you get involved with basketball? What happened? How'd that happen?
You know, growing up in the projects, we had a great church, Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Pastor Cochran, who just passed away, was a great guy for the community. Mm-hmm. Always, he started a basketball league. Me and my little brother, but you know, we had to go to the church to play basketball. And here we are, 7, 8 years old. My brother put the basketball in our hands around 3 and 4 years old. So, you know, we won our first championship when we were 10 years old, me and my brother at that church. And we just loved it. My brother played at Cheney, and then Westchester. My sister played at Delaware State. So it was just in our DNA. Then my big brother went on to be everything in high school. He went to UTEP, played for the great the University of Texas El Paso. The mayor, Don Haskins. You've seen the movie Glory Road. My brother played for that coach. And it's just been an honor. He got drafted by the Dallas Mavericks in 1987. And I just kind of followed my brother's coattails. I stayed in the playground. I played high school ball only 1 year. I went to the military. When I came out of the military, I just followed my brother's steps in basketball. He took me over to Sweden, and I just kept going. And I had great mentors in Sunny Hill, John McDonald.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I just had great mentors and people that wanted me to see me do great, see me in the game. And I just love it. I've touched so many kids' lives, and that's what I love. That's what being the ambassador does. I get to go to the hospitals, go to the churches, go to the schools, go to the nonprofits, and build these relationships. And I have a program that I call Books and Basketball. And I read, and I have my characters. I have my Globy, which is Cody, our mascot. And I just took a lot of the things I learned from the Globetrotters and applied it with the Blue Coats just to get us in the community and get people knowing who we are. And the players did the rest by putting a great product on the court. And we play at the beautiful Chase Fieldhouse in Wilmington, Delaware.
Sure.
And I've been in Delaware 20 years. And Dex is right. I met Dex, and we've been like the best of friends. And I have the utmost respect for him. And
we seen each other in a window with the Walmart.
Yes, sir. And I'm so thankful to be on here today. I really am.
Well, it's great having you. I'll tell you something. A breath of fresh air. It's wonderful having you on. Go ahead, Cornell.
Hey, Andy, I have a question for Joe. I have a question for you. If today's youth, what could you tell the youth that what's going on, all the craziness that's going on with the youth today? What would you tell them?
Oh, I tell them all the time, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want change? It starts with you. It starts with me, correct? Look in the mirror and talk to that person and say, what can I do tomorrow to be better than I was yesterday? What can I do to inspire someone? See, you can find – I can say one thing negative. You can find 10 people that will gravitate to it. But when I say something positive, I'm just looking for one. Out of all the hundreds and thousands of kids, I'm just looking for one that wants to change their life and have some fun. Because guess what, Andy and Amanda? There is no rerun to this life. We only do this once.
That's right.
Let
me tell you something about Rich. One, we had me and Rich. I think I got a humanitarian award for Stop Cade or something like that. Let me tell you.
When you
meet Rich, right? Rich, the energy is so positive. Energy, it gives you that type of energy. So we was at the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia. They was having a and when I met Rich, man, I was kind of down. But when I met him, the whole crowd just started jumping.
You know what I mean? Everybody was, like, so hyped. Everybody was kind of mad. But when Rich came in, he brought the energy, man. And, man, he's just a great guy. I tell you guys.
Great. I feel it, though. I feel all, like, sunshine because he's
I'm ready to go hyped. Jog.
I know, right?
Hey, Joe, did you ever run across a guy who runs a radio sports show on WIP in Philadelphia by the name of Howard Eskin?
Come on now. Let me tell you something.
I love the silence. Hey. I love the silence. Oh,
hey, you can't run across it without him throwing his Super Bowl ring in your face now. You know the Eagles gave him a ring. You know that, right?
I did not know it.
The Philadelphia Eagles gave him a ring. And I don't know what meets you first, his ego or the ring.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you something. Do you remember I was telling you about where I lived in this apartment building and AI's manager moved in there, a bunch of 76ers moved here? Guess who else moved in there? Guess who moved in the same building?
That's how he got where he is.
Yeah, he moved into the same building. I'm thinking, why didn't you, I'm thinking, okay, I know why he lived here. All right. And I don't even know if it was primary residence or not, but he took an apartment there. He's there all the time. But
when we had the press conference for Jimmy Butler and joining the team, when we made the trade for him, you thought it was all about Howard Eskin showing everybody his ring, you know? He's like, every 5 seconds he's touching his face or something, you know what I mean? So you can see his ring.
I got a question for you. As a passion or a hobby or something you're into, you follow a lot of sports in college basketball and basketball and baseball, football. Do you follow a lot of sports?
Yes, I do.
Well, I got a question for you. And you know, we're live on the air right now, but don't feel obligated to because this is just off the top of my head. But this program addresses a lot of things, mostly news and human insight. We also talked about that one run on Earth that you're talking about. We talk about that a lot and dive into that. But also, we occasionally talk about sports, and it would be great to have you come on our show on a regular basis and address, the highlights and what's going on in professional baseball, what's going on in professional basketball, what's going on in football. Nothing you have to do. You don't have to obligate yourself right here on the show. I just thought it would be something really fascinating to get somebody of your stature and your experience in the world of sports to come on our show and talk about sports. You know, we're not WIP, but you know what I'm saying.
Listen. We could talk off cue all about the schedule. I know the time difference is changing because I know you have three other formats as far as time. And we could definitely do that. And I know you got me on live. But Dex will tell you, there's nothing that I say that I don't. I'm old school. I'm good for my word. I don't have
any. He's a man of his word.
We could talk offline. And if it all lines up and fits in with your format, I don't have any problem. A lot of things I have to run by the Sixers to make sure it's all kosher. But 99.9% of the time, they'll be like, Joe, you know what to say. You know, as long as you're not asking me to co-sign the Dallas Cowboys, we good.
it was great, Joe. You seem just terrific, and as I said earlier, what a fresh air on this. It's great. We have a lot of news people, and we've talked about a lot of things and some pretty heavy subjects. And we try, the show. We try to make light and have some fun and so forth, and keep it entertaining and engaging as we can. But to have somebody really from the world of sports be a contributor to the show and talk about sports is something that we would love to continue to do. And to have somebody again like yourself be part of the program whenever we, as you said, if the timing everything works out, it would be wonderful to bring you aboard on the Coast to Coast Andy and Amanda program. It would be wonderful to have you to join us when possible.
Well, I just want to say when Amanda was doing the backdrop for Going with the Wind and she was talking about Clark Gable, and then you guys threw in George Clooney. I was feeling some type of way that you went to the deliverance backdrop, which was Burt Reynolds. Like, where you guys going with?
Out here.
Welcome to the Andy Demanda Show.
Let me tell you guys, man, this is the best birthday present I ever had to have Joe and thank you, Andy Demanda. I really appreciate you guys, man.
Oh, you're welcome,
thank
sweetheart. I'm glad you're having such a good day. That's what we want for you.
There's nothing like having a friend on a show.
Yeah,
you truly
absolutely.
On your birthday.
Yeah, and especially both of you guys back there in the Philadelphia area. Hey, Joe, do you remember this?
Nobody bakes a cake as tasty as a tasty cake. Nobody bakes a cake as tasty as a tasty cake. Nobody bakes a cake as tasty as a tasty cake.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while I go to my box and there's a package for me. I open up the package. And it's a whole variety package of all different kinds of tasty cakes. And Cornell has been sending me tasty cakes here in Los Angeles. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
So everybody that come, I'm like, listen, if you don't know what it tastes, don't tell me about no Little Debbie's. Don't tell me about nothing. We're talking a tasty cake. I'm hoping Little Debbie's not a sponsor because we're talking tasty cakes.
it's a different temperature when it comes down to tasty cakes.
Yes, it is. It's something. Hey, Dex, they got something in it, baby. We don't know what it is, but
there's something.
Andy.
Yeah.
Tasty cake has stood the test of time, baby. I don't care.
Oh. they have. Oh my God, the strawberry chocolate eclairs, strawberry pie. I love them. I miss
jelly crimpets.
Yeah, jelly crimpets.
Oh, come on, man.
Chocolate juniors.
I know Amanda. Like I'm sitting here with a bunch of fat guys talking right now.
I can't throw that out there, darling, because I got such a sweet tooth myself. I would never.
Don't worry, Amanda. I'm going to send you some. Just text me your address. Then you'll understand.
You'll be hooked.
It's
like
a Philadelphia thing. If you never taste the tasty cake, you're not from Philly.
Oh yeah. If you have not had a tasty cake, then
she is not the one.
That's for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, gosh,
I've asked.
I'm
you know, we did ask. You know, we did ask. You know, the former president about if he's had a tasty cake, and
maybe
his response
that's a question
was,
"You should ask China."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you.
So I have a question. In 5 years, Joe, in 5 years, where do you see yourself at?
Oh, wow. Hosting the Amanda and Joe show.
Oh. That's awesome, man. That is awesome.
Oh,
you don't have to wait.
I'm Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
No, seriously, I in 5 years I see myself just touching more lives. I just need to evolve and grow and see how much many more I can expand. I'm in a position right now to be blessed to be flying around the country right now doing basketball camps around the country. And so I'm excited about that because it's like you said, I want to bring the energy. We only do this life one time. You can find anything to be sad about and down about. And when you talked about that cave event where you got honored, Dex, that was okay because it was there because of a young boy that might have not lived to where he's at today. So why should we not be uplifted and having energy? And I do. I want somebody to walk away saying, yo, that Joe guy, Coach Joe, wow. I every day I could get some. I want what he has every day. And that's where I want to be 5 years from now.
I'm already saying that, sweetheart. Can you pass them over, please?
Please do.
Man, I'm telling you guys, Joe gives me energy. I'm telling you, man, it's like the weather's kind of all right in Delaware, but I'm ready to go jogging.
there you go.
Hey, Dex, do two laps for me.
I definitely will.
While Joe, I'm drinking his vodka. No, I'm just joking.
We need to can you up, Joe. We need to can you up and make you an energy drink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great
just
idea.
Just remember. Just
Joe's
remember.
Energy.
You got to pick a fucking car, too. Yes. Yes.
Who is that guy that cheers everything? Elf, man, that comes on the show, and I don't know where he comes from, but Andy knows.
Yo, he's like Gazoo on Fred Flintstone.
Have your fun, fellas, but take heed, greed brings trouble.
He's like Gazoo. Yeah, like <it's so>
I'll tell you, no, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun being here. Fun, great having Joe on the show, really. And
oh,
I'm just like I'm somewhat starry eyed because you know to me the Globetrotters were like it. That was you couldn't get any better than that in terms of entertainment. I mean that was it. You know. And I'd always you know ever since then I kept asking myself
who am I? Why am I here?
I never quite knew. You know.
Well, thank y'all for having me. Seriously, thank you so much. It was a joy.
Oh, Joe, we truly been... appreciate you. Thank you, man. This was a great birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, that's all our two fans.
You know, Joe, so what's how the Sixers do this year? By the way, I'm in LA. You know, the Lakers, the Clippers. How the Sixers doing?
We're in second place. I mean, we're only a point, a half a game behind the Nets because Joel Embiid has been hurt, so we've been doing good. The Blue Coats, we actually went all the way to the championship and lost. We were in the bubble. In the bubble in Florida. So they had a bubble in Florida where all the G League teams played at because of the pandemic. But we actually, for the first time in our history, we actually went to the playoffs and we went all the way to the championship and lost the championship game. So the Blue Coats did well, which is going to be great coming back next year for our fan base. And the 76ers are doing real well. And, you know, we're probably going to win the East when it's all said and done. But then after, if all the Nets get healthy, it's going to be, you know, it's almost like when all the Lakers come back in healthy. It's going to be a different basketball league after that.
Mm. Wow. That view is the right one.
So Andy, you're in L.A., so just a bit of history. Me and Joe Bryant, Kobe's dad, played together in the Baker League.
Oh, my gosh. Is that right? Oh, my gosh. Wow. Unbelievable. Wow.
He didn't even – Kobe wasn't even born then when he was playing then. That was before he still was before he went to Italy.
Wow.
Yeah, I was at I graduated Lower Merion High School. You know where Kobe went to high school. I'm from that area there, and Kobe was our he was a Lower Merion's claim to fame around the world. That high school, yeah.
Kobe's
hey Joe, can you believe that Andy is a pilot?
Like an airplane.
Uh oh.
Yes.
In fact, does he have all those sound effect gimmicks on the plane too?
No, I hope not.
Onboard entertainment.
This ain't reality TV.
Guys know how to fly planes, Joe. You know, in the hood, man, yo, if a man know how to fly planes, he's like the king, you know?
Oh, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know,
It's been it was great until the
human element has been removed.
Yeah, once that happened. Oh gosh, you know, the Sixers. I mean, I got to tell you my basketball story. I was a youth sports coach when I lived in Springfield, Montgomery County. I spent 8 years coaching Little League baseball, I used to come out to the field. You know, you're only required as a Little League coach to go to the games and your practices, but I used to, beyond that, you know, and you can relate to this, I'm sure, when I would have a team and it was kid pitch, it wasn't machine pitch. You know, it started with machine pitching, and a couple years later, they're pitching. Still, they're 8, 9, 10 years old, and it's time for them to pitch. And as a coach, you don't want any kid to feel like they couldn't make the grade, like they weren't good enough. The only thing you want to instill in a kid is how great you are and what the possibilities are and what you can go on to become. You never want to shut the door on anything that they want to do. You never, ever want to do that. And that's how kids get turned off in so many subjects and start feeling inadequate and so forth as they grow up. But anyway, so what I used to do is I'd play a game of what I used to call long toss, where I'd start the kids close together and I'd line them all up opposite each other and move them further and further and further apart. Just a game of catch. And this way I'd be able to evaluate not who can throw a ball or strike, but who can make the plate. You know, can the ball reach the plate? And
wow.
And I remember one time I had this kid named Sal, and he wasn't making the plate. And he came up to me and pulled my shirt down. He said, "Coach, coach, coach." I'm like, "Hey, Sal, what's doing?" He said, "I want to pitch. Can I pitch, coach? Can I pitch? Can I pitch?" And I'm like, Sal, I'll tell you what. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this kid's going to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, and it would be so wonderful if he could look back and tell his kids or his grandkids or his friends that he pitched in Little League, that he was a Little League pitcher. And that's what I'm thinking in my head. So I said, "Sal, you want to pitch?" He said, "Yeah, I want to. Can I please?" I said, "I'll tell you what you want to do. What time do you get out of school?" He said, "03. I said, "You meet me here at this field tomorrow at 4 o'clock. You and I are going to work on this, and I'm going to make you a commitment if you make a commitment to me. The commitment I'm going to make to you is, Sal, you're going to pitch. The commitment I need you to make to me is that you're going to give it everything you got to help me make that possible. I can't do this by myself. You're going to have to work with me. Together, we're going to make this happen for you. It will be a reality. You're going to pitch." And you know what? We were four games in. You started pitch counting and stuff because of injuries and arms and all that stuff. So you're only allowed to keep a pitcher in for so long. And I'm looking at Sal and I said, "Sal, you ready?" He said, "Coach, try pitch." And then he's nervous. Then he's thinking to himself, I don't know, Sal. And this is funny because I used to think I parlayed the philosophy of flying and what somebody wants to do when they get into the cockpit of a plane. When you first start your flying career, you're not a captain. You start as a co-pilot. Right, your job is to assist the captain, to be responsible to the airplane, the crew, the safety of the flight, and to be responsible and assist the captain in their commanding of the plane. Well, you know, when you step up to the plate, you're not a co-pilot anymore. You're the captain. You're wearing four stripes. And what I should do is tell my players, when you step up to the plate, you are going to command that ship. You'll command that ball. You're going to tell that ball where you want it to go because you're the boss, not the ball. You're the boss. Not the pitcher, you're the boss. It's you and the bat. You take command. You go ahead and do this. And just that talk and just that motivation, these kids would go out and you'd see people swing a bat who couldn't hit, suddenly line drive over the shortstop's head and get a double or a single. Sal got up there to the mound, and I held up four fingers. All I had to do, and he knew what I was talking about, I held up four fingers. He knew that meant, "Sal, it's your turn to be the captain. You're not the co-pilot." And he stood up there, and he struck out the side. Not because he threw strikes, but he looked damn good pitching. and then, ready for this? You're going to get a kick out of this, Joe. So the township gave me a call and said, "Andy, we'd love you to be a basketball coach." I never played basketball in my life. I don't even know. You know, I don't know anything about it. He said, "Andy, we'd really love you. You're doing a great job. We'd love you to come on and take a basketball team." Well, I wanted to take a team, and I'm like, okay, it was a girls' team. So it was all girls. And I'm thinking to myself, I know football. I bleed to this day Eagles green. I am all about Eagles. And I go around every day going, All right, that's right. That's where I am at. So I would – the basketball team, they'd show up. I'd say, "Okay, hey, coach, what position I play?" "Okay, you play defensive tackle. You play tight end. And you play, and I don't even know what the forward is, what this is. I had no idea where you're supposed to put these people. But there was one thing I did, and this is kind of funny, because I'm starting to learn about basketball. Okay, I'm going to be coaching. I've never played. So I went and watched YouTube, and I watched some of the college basketball teams, and I downloaded some of the play. And the girls would come up, and I would say this: how many of you have been in a ballet or a school play? Were you supposed to be on? They put little X's on the stage, and when you say your line, you go up that X and you stop there, or you move to the next X, right? We all familiar with that. So yeah, well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to put on a play. We're going to be a ballet, and you're going to move to a certain spot. But the only thing is, unlike a play or a dance,
we're going to, once we get to that spot, we're going to create some options as to what you can do. Can you imagine being in a play or in a movie where it's time to say your line, but you can improv and you could do what you felt was right to do at the moment? Wow, that's what we're going to do playing basketball. Ready for this? We were undefeated. Never lost.
Wow.
I thought she was going to be like, everybody was kung fu fighting.
Oh, man.
It was so much fun.
She said they can do what they want to do. I thought they were going to start kicking and slapping each other. She said they were undefeated. Oh,
man. Man, what a wild ride it was. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
The game, that's what the game does for you. Sports, period. That's what sports does for you. It has that impact. And you can relate to anybody on any age, any ethnicity, any gender. It just brings some way, whether it's soccer, baseball, volleyball. It finds a way of making those conversations happen. And that's what I love about sports.
It's so wonderful. Yes. It's so great to have you on our show. This has been great. And we'll talk and we'll hook up through, you know, Cornell, and I think I said at the beginning of the show, Cornell, Amanda and I have never met. Cornell put this whole show together. He's been the driving force behind the show, and I keep telling him, we refer to him as our boss, but he keeps saying, oh, we're a team. But I got to tell you, Cornell, who I've never met, Amanda's never met, and they've known each other for a long time. What an amazing job Cornell has done in bringing this show to fruition. And as much as he tries to lay behind the scenes and be modest, we're here because of what Cornell created. And today is his birthday. And again, he deserves so much appreciation and acknowledgement for making this whole program of ours possible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you, Andy and Amanda. Y'all know who I am. Teamwork makes the dream work.
And talking about Joe Richman on this show. I mean, somebody who's it's just great to have you here and part of the program today. Joe, we really enjoyed it. Really, it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I am glad, and like I said, Dex is. We just connected. I never knew him before that night. I met him, and we just stayed in touch through everything that I've done. Because after that, I still went back on tour and did some things. And we just stayed in touch. So I know we were trying a couple different times to make this happen, but I'm glad today we finally got it right, and I see why. And I look forward to hopefully meeting you all, whether it's on Zoom, because that's what the world we live in now, or in person. So I appreciate it.
That'd be beautiful. Would love that. Yeah,
look
definitely.
Forward to it. And there will be a time where I've got such family and friends back east, and used to, you know, prior to COVID, would make a couple trips to Philadelphia here and there, and look forward. You know, Cornell and I are talking about, God, we got to meet. You know, next trip in, I'm going to definitely get together. It would be great to meet you there as well, Joe. It would be a pleasure to meet and shake hands and say hi, and it'd be great to talk further. And also, we'll talk about bringing you on the show as our sports guy. I would love to do that. If we can make it work, that would be so great. It really would.
Well, I would definitely have y'all call him Cornell, but he decks to me, so we'll have that conversation.
Wonderful. Sounds great, because
wish, and I guess men sometimes don't know what to say.
It will be.
Yeah.
It will be. Oh.
But anyway, so thanks for joining us on the Andy
thanks,
and Amanda show.
We truly appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you guys as well. Thank y'all so much.
Yeah.
And you do live very well.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. So great. We'll be in touch. Thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you on. We're going to get ready to wrap this show up.
Joe,
my gosh. Go ahead, Cornell. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Andy and Amanda. The Instagrams and, all your social medias and, you know, to the Delaware Coats and everything, if you want to abbreviate on that.
I'm not a tech guy, so you can just go, Google Blue Coats.
Yeah, right.
Just Google Blue Coat, you'll find it.
It's like 76ers.gleague.nba.com. Man, I can't keep up with all that stuff. It's so funny because a lot of people be asking me about my Twitter, Instagram. Man, they got some interns that's all that stuff for me. I don't keep up with all that.
Google takes the place these days. It does it all, right, darling?
Oh man! Andy, I look forward to it when you do get back and we get back to in person stuff. And hopefully, you and your family can come out and be my guest at the 76ers Chase Field House in Wilmington, Delaware. And then Amanda, we got to figure something out for you.
Oh, bless you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for
allowing me to come into your living room.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Well, Joe, we'll talk to you again soon, man. Stay in touch for sure.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for joining
us.
Enjoy your weekend, Joe.
It's been amazing, darling. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Dax. Happy birthday, family.
Thank you, brother. Aww. Thank you. Love you always.
Love you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll talk.
Take care, Joe.
Yes. Joe Richmond. Delaware Blue Coat. So great to have
dude.
Him on the show. Yeah, absolutely great.
Awesome, dude.
Listen, have a wonderful, wonderful birthday. I'm not sure what your plans are. I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I'm going to go see the blue. Got me thinking about the Delaware Blue Coat. I'm going to go see the Blue Coat.
What'd you say?
I'm going to go see the Iram. God, you know, there's never
no
there's
time
never,
for sex.
There's none.
Yeah.
Oh.
The way he said that.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go. I want to go see. Oh, listen, you know your birthday. We gotta make sure.
Give this man a beer.
Yeah, get you a beer. Get yourself a beer on us, you know. And
thank you. Can I use the Andy and Amanda credit card?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, put on the company.
Thank you.
Put on the company.
Good.
Yeah.
Juice.
Hey, Cornell.
You ever served in an infantry unit, son?
Well, after I drink these couple beers that you're buying, so I'm definitely down.
Oh.
Well, this is a great show, I'm going to rock and roll here. I'm going to go see Bill Maher and look forward to that, of course. Maybe I'll learn something about how you really do commentary. And we'll look forward to seeing everybody on Monday and wish everybody a wonderful, safe weekend ahead.
Absolutely.
And we start a whole new season which is like a whole new season for us on Monday, and with a lot more guests and conversation and news. And there's a lot of news that we didn't get to today, but it was just so wonderful having Joe Richmond on. That you know, it's okay to take a break from commenting on news. It really, really is, especially on this show.
Yeah.
So again, happy birthday to Cornell. Amanda, why don't you take us home? Have a great weekend, everybody.
Okay, so first of all, thank you, Joe Richmond, once again. It's been a pleasure. On behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love, somewhere in the UK, thank you for Cornell joining us. We've missed you, dude. Happy birthday. And thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for listening into the madness that is us. And we love you. I hope you come back on Monday's show. I think what day it was then. Have a great weekend. We love you.
Just remember that...
We will not deal with you!
Mm-mm.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wait. Cornell. You see this there? Wait, Cornell.
Yes.
Venus.
I like my hips to be held, and I like to, like, you know, so I can still move back and forth you know, work it, like, twerk it.
This is the best birthday present in the world.
That's his girl.
Bye,
you know, and
if you don't like it, I'm going to whoop you.
Yeah.
what about Elvis?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yes. No. Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes. No. I mean, yes. I mean, no.
Oh.
I didn't say that, did I? Oh, no.
Yes, you did.
All right. I just said that.
You know.
No.
No. Andy, yes. Yes, no.
It's his birthday. It's his birthday.
Oh, no. Oh,
no. No.
We're calling
no.
a trap.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you. This is the Fit Anthony Ed of your show.
I love you too much, baby.
I'm out of here.
We'll see everybody.
Me too.
Why can't
I think
you see what you're doing to me? Ooh, when you don't believe a word I'm saying.